Staff, ladies and gentlemen, the Planning Commission is now in session. You can help us expedite today's hearing by following some rules and procedures. First, everyone will be given an opportunity to be heard. When it is your turn to speak, please come to the podium, state your name and address clearly for the record. The applicant will be heard first, and those in favor of the application. Then, following that, those opposed to the application will be heard. After that, the applicant will be given time for rebuttal, and if necessary, a person opposed, one speaker will be given the opportunity to rebut. We ask that you limit your presentations or testimony to 5 minutes or less. The chair reserves the right to limit testimony and will exercise that right in the interest of others who have business before the commission. After all the speakers have been heard, the public portion of the hearing will be closed. At that point, additional comments will not be allowed from the public unless one of the commissioners asks that the hearing be reopened. Finally, the commissioners will discuss the application, make motions, and vote to reach a decision. If you are not satisfied with today's decision, you may be able to appeal it to the Board of Supervisors. Appeals must be filed within a specified period of time, and you can check with staff after today's hearing for the procedures to follow in filing your appeal. Please make sure your mobile phones and pagers are on mute. Thank you. Commissioner Hill, will you lead us in the flag salute, please?
Please stand. Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. May we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Arabian?
Here.
Commissioner Borchardt?
Here.
Commissioner Carver?
Here.
Commissioner Chatha?
Here.
Commissioner Quist?
Here.
Commissioner Whelan is absent. Commissioner Zante?
Here.
Vice Chair Hill?
Here.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Here. Okay, the first item on the agenda, well, it would be consent agenda, but there are no items on the consent agenda, so we would go to the regular agenda. The first one there is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons who wish to address the commission on any matter within our jurisdiction, but not on today's agenda. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission at this time? Seeing none, we'll go to item number two.
Regular agenda item number two, variance application number 4173 filed by Harris Ranch Feed Company proposing to allow an increase in maximum height allowance for a proposed modernized flake grain mill, including a 115-foot receiving tower, a 95-foot bin fill bridge support tower, 90-foot grain silos, and a 72-foot 7-inch cleaner service platform ranging from 60 feet to 115 feet in height, located in the AE40 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the north side of interchange of Interstate 5 and Fresno-Kalinga Road, approximately 9.53 miles northeast of the city of Kalinga.
This item proposes to increase the maximum height allowance in the AE zone district to allow for construction of a new flake grain mill to replace an existing grain mill located on an adjacent parcel pending a property line adjustment. The subject parcel is located in a part of the county designated and zoned for agriculture, and surrounding uses include orchards, grazing, and additional feedlots owned by the applicant. Here we have an aerial photo of surrounding parcels as well as the subject parcel. Proposed site map, please note that property line adjustment is in progress. We have some conceptual images of what the grain mill will look like once complete. And then some photos of the existing grain mill that will be replaced once the property line adjustment is complete, as well as the construction of the new grain mill. Staff was able to make all four findings required for granting a variance with discussion found in the staff report. This concludes my brief presentation, and staff is available for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Alexander. I have a few questions. First, with regards to the line adjustment, is that something that doesn't need to come before us?
No, that is a mapping application that does not need Planning Commission approval.
Okay. Now, looking through this, they use the term, they interchange the term mill and tower and silo. What is it actually that's going to be 115 feet tall?
The max of the 115 feet will be specifically closer for the receiving tower and the support structure on that. That is the tallest structure of the grain mill. The applicant could better explain it. It is including the entirety of the grain mill at the heights listed in the staff report.
So when you talk about the mill, you're talking about the whole project.
You're not talking about the part structures.
Where they do milling then.
Yes.
Because at one point in their statement, in Exhibit 6, they say the height would be the same as the existing mill. But then they say the proposed mill exceeds the maximum allowance allowed. So I just want to clarify, we're talking about the silo or the elevator tower.
In this case, it's the tower is the tallest portion, but the silos themselves are also above the minimum or maximum height allowance in that zone district. So the variance, it does include the tower, the grain mill, tower, the silos, the bin fill bridges, the cleaner service platform, and supporting structures.
And did you get any correspondence or anything from the Ag Commissioner regarding crop dusting? You did. It was mentioned briefly, but was there not a concern with regards to any?
This project was routed to the Ag Commissioner, and they had no comments on it.
Okay. Will this be lit? Will there be lights on the tower?
That would be a better question for the applicant. I don't know that off the top of my head.
Okay. Any other questions of staff? Thank you very much. Would the applicant come forward, please?
Good morning, Chair, members of the Commission. My name is Wyatt Szczesinski. I'm with Provo and Pritchard Consulting Group at 455 West Fir Avenue in Clovis, California, 93611. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. With regards to the questions I had of staff, can you address some of those? In particular, will there be lights on the tower?
I do not know if there will be lighting on the tower. I know that the tower and the grain mill, as staff presented, multiple components will be above the height limitation, but the existing grain mill and other components at the site are also above the height limitation. So this project, while it is a replacement, is largely going to look as the existing site is. As far as lighting, I don't have the answer to that.
Wasn't the existing height at 60 feet?
The existing height requirement is 60 feet. I believe that the existing site is above the height limitation as it currently
exists. At this time,
what's
the highest point?
I don't know that.
Staff, do you know?
I don't personally know, but I might add, just for your clarification, with the new ordinance, there is specific provisions that require all lighting to be shielded and to not create glare. The other concern often that comes to us in height issues, people think of hazard avoidance lighting for aviation. That doesn't occur until you're at 200 feet. So we rarely would see anything at that height. And particularly in this case, it would not be applicable.
Okay. Did you have anything to add?
No, other than I appreciate you guys reviewing the application this morning.
Okay, let me ask if there are any other questions of the applicant. Thank you very much. Anyone else here in support of this application? Come forward if you would and state your name and address.
My name's Ken Zeman, Harris Feeding Company, Kalinga, California. I'm the feedlot manager. I'm also the ex-mill manager, been there for 28 years. Okay. We're trying to improve our operation by building a new feed plant. Our original feed plant was built in the 60s. I'm sure there was no height variance back then. Some of our equipment is 80 feet. When the drawings first came out, we figured it'd be the same as the original stuff, but it's a little higher. So this required us for the height variance.
Okay.
So if there's any questions for me, I'd be free to answer them.
Thank you. Are there any questions of the speaker?
Yeah.
Commissioner Quist?
There was a question earlier about lighting on the top and how it might affect various
in my previous
pesticide applications by air. Is that a concern? Are there orchards that are close? Or
so the closest orchards to the north of us, owned by Harris Farms, of course, in 2019, Mr. Harris sold the feedlot to Brian Coilo. And so those orchards are probably a mile and a half from the tower. So it's not very close. On the west side, I-5, there's no orchards. On the east side, I think the gentleman's name was Walker that owns that property. And all those trees have been taken out. And so I'm not sure if new trees are going to go in or not. But all surrounding the south side of the feedlot is totally barren right now.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I will close the public portion of the hearing and bring it back to the commission for a recommendation or discussion. Recommendations on page 8.
I'll make a motion to accept the staff.
Okay. Commissioner Chata made a motion to accept as per staff's recommendation, which is approval. And Commissioner Hill is making the second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That carries unanimously. Next item.
Regular agenda item number 3, variance application number 4076, filed by Dirk Puschel, Land Development Services Incorporated, proposing to allow the creation of two substandard parcels, a 2-acre parcel and a 30.22-acre parcel, from an existing 32.22-acre parcel that is dual zoned in with the AL20 zone district and the RC40 zone district. The subject parcel is located on the south side of Rainbow Avenue, approximately 1,204 feet west of its nearest intersection with Riverbend Avenue, and is approximately 1.37 miles northeast of its nearest city limits of the city of Sanger.
Good morning, Chairman and members of the Planning Commission. My name is Elise Alvarez with Department of Public Works and Planning, and I'm presenting this agenda item to you today. The subject parcel is located 1.37 miles northeast of the city of Sanger. This is the subject parcel. The blue line is the current parcel at 32.2 acres. The red line at the top is the proposed 2 acres. This parcel is dual zoned. So the RC40 is the area at the bottom of the parcel, so south of the parcel. And at the top, along with the proposed parcel, is AL20. This is the applicant's site plan of the proposal and pictures of the site. Based on the required findings for the variance, staff were able to make findings 3 and 4. Staff is unable to find an exceptional or extraordinary circumstance, and or finding 2, unable to identify that this will preserve property rights possessed by others. So based on being able to determine that 2 of the 4 findings cannot be made, and therefore recommends denial of the variance application 4076. And that concludes my presentation. I'll be happy to address any questions.
Thank you. Are there any questions of staff? Yes, Commissioner Quist.
So this application, first sentence, 32.22 acre parcel.
Correct.
If I go to Exhibit 8, it references a 27.51 acre parcel. Do you have a comment on that, or perhaps we'll get it later, but...
Six, seven.
If I might add, Commissioner Borchardt, the parcel had some adjustments, some mapping issues that had to be cleared up, and the staff report indicates what you're seeing now reflects the final result. The original APN maps from the assessor shows the other acreage. So in some of the map generations, it appears they've picked up the older acreage. That's why there's a discrepancy there. But the current 32.22 acres is the correct finalized acreage of the parcel.
Now, does that include the 4.63 that's referenced to a Mr. Page?
That one I'm not up on. Hang on a second. I think you're talking about the previous sale of the property.
Possible, yeah.
That's a little harder for us to follow. It was quite a convoluted process. The applicant probably, I know Dirk knows this issue a lot better than I, and he might be able to provide some clarity. But again, the result of all of that was this parcel being 32 acres.
I have a question. Is there a house on that 32 acres presently? I couldn't really tell.
No.
Yeah. Don't we have a provision where you can do a lot, a finance lot to build a parcel on that land and without doing the parcel split?
They could. They could do a tax parcel, but that's not what they desire. They also could do a home site, but it doesn't quite meet those requirements, or they choose not to meet those conditions because you have to have contiguity. I can never say that word. And those people would have to be involved, and it requires a covenant. And again, it doesn't create something that immediately gives you title that you can transfer. So that's why they have not chosen those other two, because it doesn't create separate title.
I know.
You can't sell it separately.
My point is, you could build a house there, but you can't sell it off separately.
Right. I mean, there's not a home on the site now. They could build a house. They could build a second dwelling unit with a DRA. Yes, both those are available, as is.
As is.
As is.
Yeah. And then with that, I mean, we have turned down other applicants who wanted 2 acre parcels splitting off land like this as well, because it doesn't meet the general plan provision.
Correct.
But they still have the option to build a house there. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Thanks very much.
I'm still a little confused on, well, maybe when the applicant comes up, they can explain how many acres and what's what and where the houses are and aren't.
Okay. Mr. Pushel, it's your turn.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. I'm Dirk Pushel, and my business address is 923 Van Ness here in Fresno. I'm here this morning on behalf of Marvin and Janice Gertz. Mr. Marvin Gertz is with me in the back of the room, and their son, Kerry Gertz. We appreciate that staff has made findings 3, that there'll be no adverse impact to surrounding property, and to Commissioner Borchardt's concern that finding number 4, consistency with the general plan, could also be made. Marvin and Janice Gertz have owned and farmed the dominant 32.2 acre parcel since 1971. They are not newcomers to this property. Marvin Gertz has farmed in this area since 1967. There are no homes on the 32.2 acre parcel, and his property is farmed as one unit. And you can kind of see here that, and it's referenced in the staff report, this top portion here, this 8.49 acre piece, has a elevation difference of about 30 to 10 feet, depending on where you are on the property. So the bottom portion, it's owned by the Gertz family here, is about 10 to 30 feet lower. And that's the reason that years ago, Fresno County zoned this property a L20 and this property RC40, because this property here is in the riverine area of your general plan. Along this area here particularly, this is the most radical portion. This is about a 30-foot deviation in height. And this also has some beautiful trees along this area right in here, some heritage oaks. The site was selected because there's already a road, and that this portion of the property, about 1 acre, is not being farmed now. So we're essentially taking 1 acre of productive land out for the home site for Mr. Gert's son. As I mentioned earlier, there are no home sites on the property now. In 1973, 2 years into Mr. Gert's ownership, the county zoned Mr. Gert's property to AL20 and to RA. So they zoned AL20 here and RA here. Now, during that period of time, Mr. Gertz could have created a home site. Both of those zone districts would have allowed a home site to be created. And I also want to mention that during this entire period, both the top and the bottom piece have been farmed as one unit. And then in November of 1982, 11 years into Mr. Marvin Gertz's ownership, the property was zoned AL20. So for 11 years into the ownership, this entire 32-acre piece could have allowed a home site. When the county zoned this piece to RC40, home sites are not allowed in the RC40 zone. And because we're under 20 acres, we can't have a home site in the AL20 zone. We do believe that findings 1 and 2 can be made, and I'll go through those right now. We do believe that that physical circumstance, the grade breaks, substantial grade breaks, and the fact that there's bifurcated zoning speak directly to making those findings. As I mentioned earlier, there's an existing roadway right here. So that roadway will be utilized as part of the home site creation. As to finding number 2, there's only about 1 acre of this area here that's going to be taken out of production. The other portion of the property is not in production now and has heritage oak trees and slopes that do not lend itself to agricultural production and have never been farmed. With respect to finding number 2, that the variance is necessary to maintain a property right, recall that there are no homes on the 32 acres. So the farm that Mr. Gertz farms has no homes. And we believe that the applicant has a right for a home site. If we go to picture number 4, please. Maria, go back to 3. I think that'd be helpful too. This kind of gives you a feel for the bluff face. So this is the entry location where we would take access for the home site. But this kind of gives you a sense of the grade break that is in the area where we propose to create the home site. And you can see this is essentially the bottom portion of the property. This is the top. In this particular area here, if you go all the way down, that's about a 30-foot grade break. Now, if you go to 4, please. I also note that in the staff report on page 16, Exhibit 4, the staff report illustrates 27 parcels. 20 of those parcels are under 20 acres, and 14 of those parcels are nominally 5 acres or approximately 5 acres. As I mentioned earlier, Mr. Gertz has a right to build a home site. He had that right for 11 years until the 8.49-acre top portion was zoned AL20. The county's 2 zone changes over time eliminated a property right to build a home site enjoyed by others, but taken from Mr. Gertz, who could no longer build on his full 32-acre ranch that he farms as one unit. Mr. Gertz has a 53-year commitment to this area and to agriculture itself, and asks that his son be allowed to build a home site. We believe that that is, in fact, consistent with the county general plan to protect agriculture, that the home site will provide a more efficient farming operation for the Gertz family, enhance security of the Gertz family farm and provide support to Carrie's mother and father. Mr. Gert is very proud of the 8 neighbors who have written letters and have appeared over various hearings regarding this matter, all in support of the project. There's never been any opposition to the project. And I also add that the Board of Supervisors contemplated the creation of a limited size home site as proposed, leaving the remaining 2-acre parcel taking it out of the contract and the other 30 some odd acres in the contract. So there'll be a continued commitment for the remaining property to be in the Williamson Act. So we believe that that information allows the commission to make findings 1 and 2, and we ask that you support our proposed variance. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have them of me.
Thank you. Mr. Pushwell, could you, there's a question about the Page sale, or where are they located, or what's
Mr. Details? Page was here, and he's a neighbor. Mr. Page is a neighbor south of Mr. Gertz's ranch. And there was a sale some years ago that was approved and then didn't record in time, and there was other complications. So the requirement of your staff was that transaction be in compliance with your zoning ordinance today, and that's been completed. Okay. But the Page parcel, this is the entire property is owned by Mr. Page, who has also written a letter of support for the project.
Staff, do we have those letters of support? Was it a letter for this hearing or in the past?
It's related to the board's hearing and generally to the variance file itself.
Okay. I didn't see letters of support unless I missed it.
I have a question.
Yes,
you stated earlier, and I'm just wondering if you can add a little bit more clarity.
Sure.
You said that in the past he could have built a home site, but because of the changes to the AE20, he no longer can.
That's correct.
So I thought you can build one home site on an AE20.
If you have 20 acres, you have to have 20 acres to create that first home site.
Actually, I'd like staff. Staff, would you address that?
They can build a home by right. Just go in and pull a building permit.
But you cannot separate them, and as is intended by Mr. Gertz, and that's the important part of this. As staff had mentioned earlier, there is a process, but that process is, frankly, somewhat convoluted. You have to wait a certain period of time, and you have to go back to the county and ask permission to create the parcel formally, and it's much more complicated than just having a parcel that Carrie Gertz could own and be adjacent to his family.
Okay.
That's the intent.
And the portion that is zoned AL20?
Yes.
Is it AE or AL?
AL.
AL20. That's only 8-point-something acres?
That's correct.
Okay, so it's already kind of a substandard size.
Yes,
for that
it
section.
Is.
Okay.
But it's all part of the 32-acre farm,
right,
that has been unified in operation for 30-plus years.
So you're not asking to separate the two parcels by its zoning?
No.
It would still, the balance from the parcel you want to create would still be owned by the Gertz?
That's correct. And under Williamson Act, that's another important component. Okay. The Williamson Act contract would still apply to the 30 acres, which Mr. Gertz intends to continue to farm.
And access to that property, is that on Rainbow?
Yes.
As well?
Yeah, Maria, can you bring that slide up, please? Yes, it's right here.
Access to the 32 acres of the
there'd be
southern
access. There's
property.
Access here now, and there's access over here.
Okay.
And this red area shows you the area that is inclusive of those heritage oaks and the grading
area
and the roadway.
And one more question. Back on the other slide where you can see the aerial without the colors on it, yeah, you can see a building. And I'm wondering what those buildings are on the right-hand side.
That's off the side.
No, it looks like there's a roof right at the corner.
Here?
Come down. Down, right there. Is that a roof?
I don't know. Is that a shed or? I don't know. It's just a shed. It's not a home site. If it's anything at all, The only area that I've visited is in here two or three times. I've never walked back over here, so I'm sorry I can't answer that question. But there are no home sites on the property.
No homes on the property.
Yes. Yes, excuse me.
I have a question.
Commissioner Hill.
Dirk, if it's my understanding, the Gertz, Marvin Gertz, owns and farms all this currently.
Correct.
His grandson is now helping him farm this.
His son
is now helping him farm.
That's correct.
So therefore, they want to retain that. Then, by right, you could build a home, and they could give it whatever to the son, and not go through all this division change.
To create the parcel, we have to come to you for a variance. To create a parcel that we can
convey directly. But that would be the right way to do it.
Convey directly to Mr. Gert's son, Carrie.
Mm-hmm. It's not impossible, but that's the right way, right?
Well, there's multiple ways. There's multiple ways this could be done. But the easiest way for financing is clearly the way that we have selected.
For your finance.
And for ownership.
You can build on the property and do a finance lot. And I've done them before when I was lending. And that's not an issue on financing. And So in the event that they don't pay, the bank could foreclose on that 1 acre or 2 acre lot through the finance lot. I don't know why we should make a exception to the zoning laws to have this 2 acre lot for when you have an 8 acre lot, which is already kind of small anyway for that area.
Well, we functionally have 32 acres. And I think that's our point, that there's 32 acres here. And the physical circumstance relating to finding number two is that they're bifurcated by about 30 feet of grade separation. So we specifically picked this location because it had the least amount of impact on agriculture. It's also consistent with the parcelization that are to the south of us, which I can identify on four. Of the 27 parcels identified on this map, which is on your staff report, 20 of those parcels are under 20 acres and 14 are at approximately 5 acres, also home sites. So we believe that we have made the findings with respect to physical circumstances and a property right.
Dirk, how long ago did they start the process of the Williamson Act? Because I know I saw it on the Board of Supervisors meeting just about a few months ago maybe, but how long did that, when did that all start with the Gertz family?
Commissioner Arabian, it's been a nightmare. Kerry began the process and then COVID struck.
Oh, this goes before COVID?
It's in that period. And I don't know if you recall, but the matter was set for your planning commission and there was a misunderstanding about whether or not they could attend the hearing because of the COVID plague. And so they did not appear. So then they had to resubmit the application. And then we found in further research that there was the page matter. So that had to be resolved, which we've done. It's all legally completed. So we've been at it. Been at 4 years.
Okay. And all you're taking out of the Williamson Act is the proposed lot, right? I heard
acres.
That, I thought.
And that's what the board approved.
And the most that can be farmed is like 1 or 1.1 acres?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So about 50% is already out of production.
Right. Well,
it couldn't be farmed.
Okay.
All right. It couldn't be farmed. We believe that is, in fact, physical circumstance.
Any other questions of the applicant?
Are there any other siblings that involved in this family? So I'm wondering if maybe for estate planning that it's simpler this way.
There are issues there, and there's been a recent death in the family. Carrie's brother passed away just recently, which puts even more pressure on Carrie to be close to his mom and dad. Help run the ranch, but this has always been from the very beginning of the process has been for Carrie and his wife. and so that he could be close to his mom and dad and help him with the ranch and have his own home site on the property.
Okay. Commissioner Chris?
Yes. In the narrative, in your narrative,
yes.
Exhibit 7, page 6, there's a mention of, on E, Gertz and Page proposed to voluntarily prohibit the creation of another home site on either of their respective properties. Is that possible?
It's not enforceable.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean,
we offered it, Commissioner Quist, to show our sincerity in not creating home sites or secondary residences. And I'll say that to the commission. Mr. Gertz, neither Mr. Gertz, Marvin Gertz, or Carrie Gertz have an interest in building secondary homes on the parcel.
But a potential new owner,
yes,
in 20 years could.
Yes, apparently. Even though we don't want it to happen.
Any other questions of the Mr. Pushman?
If you would leave the parcel, the acreage in whole,
mm-hmm,
the son was allowed, or he helped because of wanting to help his mom, to live there. And then someday, maybe whatever, but at least we're guaranteed not creating a second home feature down the line like Bill was talking about. Why can't it just be left and they build?
I'm sorry?
Because the parents are giving him permission to live there.
Correct.
So why can't they just give it now and have the whole parcel stay in whole? Because he's doing the farming anyway.
That's a question that the family's been grappling with, and that's apparently not something that they're interested in. I understand that the property is owned by Marvin and Janice Gertz, and I think for estate purposes, they're not in a position now to give the ranch to Carrie. I don't know all the details, but for the 4 years that they've been involved, this has been their intention, and I'm sure they have their own financial reasons as to why it makes sense.
And they may eventually want to sell that part. I mean, that's a option down the line they have, and that would leave the house there. So,
and I understand.
I don't know.
But Mr. Gertz has been on this property since 1971. He's been in the Williamson Act since that same period. I think of anyone that you look along that area, his commitment to agriculture is pretty pretty stark and bold.
Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Pushman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is anyone else here to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public portion of the hearing, bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
Well, I can start with my spiel. We can go from there. I'm from Sanger. I don't know these guys, but 32 years ago, I was at Fresno State and I worked for Mosquito Abatement District, and so they gave a 20-year-old a Jeep and a bunch of keys and combinations to locks, and my job was to go spray. So I've been all over that property, and the topography is a key issue to this. I've been all up and down that bluff. I've sprayed it in there. And so I drove back out there recently because it's been 32 years and just kind of looked at it and it hadn't changed. It's exactly the way it was. So with the argument that the ag land, you know, taking it out of production there, it really is just that one little piece there and it just drops off this bluff into that area. So on that, I have no problem making finding one because of the physical characteristics. In fact, I was a little shocked, not shocked, but I know we did one a while back. Can't remember exactly where it was, where the topography made the difference and staff actually made that finding. I think there was a canal that went around it. And this is similar. You got this bluff area going through there. Finding number two, I can also make. You know, we voted no on as many of these as we voted yes, and I can, you know, I don't think that we're a commission that just is an open conduit for variances to flow through. I think we do a good job on that. I also watch the Board of Supervisors, and I kind of like to watch and see what they do with what, you know, appeals and that sort of thing. And I feel like they would probably make the findings as well. And I feel like he's been working on it for 4 years, and he's gone through all this stuff, and I don't think this is a money grab, which is another thing I kind of look for. Is it just a money grab? And I think they're genuine in what they're asking for. And God knows they've fought long enough and hard enough to do it. So I will be, I'll kind of let it hash around, but I would be willing to make a motion making the findings if you guys want to discuss first, or I can throw the motion out now. I don't.
You can make a motion, then we can discuss it.
Okay, I'll make a motion to that I can find the findings and to approve it. Findings one would be based on the physical characteristics and the zoning, the difference of the two zoning, and the other one, finding number two, would be made based on that he had the right to do it for 11 years and the zoning got changed.
I'll second.
Okay.
I second it.
We have a motion by Commissioner Arabian, a second by Commissioner Zante to approve this, and they've explained why they can make the findings. Now we can do discussion. If there's anyone for discussion.
Yeah, I don't know. You can still build a house on the property, so why would you need to split it? I mean, I don't know if they made a, you know, we can get the applicant up why it's necessary financially to split it for financing, because you can finance that lot. And it's just the 8 acres we're talking about, not the whole area. Because it's already only an 8-acre parcel, correct? Am I wrong on that?
It's not. Well, no, it's a 32-acre
parcel. Oh, the 32? All right. But isn't it a separate APN?
Mm-hmm. But that doesn't split the parcel.
Separate zoning. Okay. It's separate zoning.
It's, and that's a good point. It's come up before. Yeah. But there's something, and I've heard this too from applicants who make a valid point, that it's been in the family for more than 50 years. And there's something about home ownership as opposed to just, oh, we'll let a family member build a house and live there, because you don't know if something happened to the parents or the people who own the entire parcel. There's no guarantee that the son or whoever has the other parcel will be able to stay there, and they'd have a lot invested in their new home. And so I think Commissioner Arabian did address the property right as well as the physical characteristics. So I'm going to support his as well.
And I don't disagree with you or Commissioner Hill. But you know what? Part of the problem is these guys get this far along. I guess I'm somewhat sympathetic to the 4 years and God knows how much money has been spent. And I wonder sometimes if those options had been explored or even explained, or if they knew that at the time. And that's why I asked about the estate planning and that sort of thing. And so I just think that after all this has gone by, that's where I can kind of I can get over that. But I don't disagree with your guys' points. In fact, I voted no for that point before. So, but not in this case. Mm-hmm.
Any other discussion? There's no other discussion or questions. I'm going to call for the vote, and we'll do a roll call vote, and this is to approve the application.
Commissioner Arabian?
Yes.
Commissioner Zante?
Yes.
Commissioner Borchardt?
No.
Commissioner Carver?
Yes.
Commissioner Chatha?
Yes.
Commissioner Quist?
Yes.
Commissioner Whelan is absent. Vice Chair Hill?
No.
Chairman Abrahamian?
Yes. This passes. Approved with a vote of 6-2 and is final unless appealed. Item number four.
Regular agenda item number four, unclassified conditional use permit numbers 3734, 3802, 3803, and 3804. Key Energy Storage Project and Associated Environmental Impact Report number 8189. The project proposes to construct, operate, maintain, and provide for the future decommissioning of a battery storage facility on an approximately 260 acres, along with a new approximately 2,500-foot-long, 5,000 kilovolt transmission line to connect with the existing PG&E Gates substation located north of the project site. The project in the AE40 zone district. The project site is located on the south side of West Jane Avenue between Interstate 5 and South Lassen Avenue, State Route 269, and approximately 3.8 miles southwest of the city of Huron. The project site comprises approximately 260 acres of three parcels totaling 318 acres.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. I'm Jeremy Shaw with the Department of Public Works and Planning. This application proposes to construct and operate a battery energy storage facility and an electrical transmission line with supporting equipment on approximately 260 acres of land in the AE40 zone district. The project site is located on the south side of West Jane Avenue between Interstate 5 and State Route 269. Land uses in the area are generally consistent with the agricultural zoning, characterized by irrigated orchards and field crops. This preliminary site plan shows details of the proposed energy storage facility and related infrastructure. The ultimate configuration of the project site may differ slightly from this concept. The environmental impact report prepared for the project identified potential impacts. The mitigation measures recommended in the EIR have been determined to reduce the identified impacts to a less than significant level. The mitigation measures have been accepted by the applicant, and the project will be subject to the conditions of approval and other mandatory requirements of Fresno County and responsible agencies. Staff has also determined that the project is compliant with the county-adopted solar electrical energy generation facility guidelines and will be required to adhere substantially to the provisions of the reclamation plan, included as Exhibit 8. In conclusion, staff was able to make all four of the required findings for granting the conditional use permit. Additionally, staff has provided the commission with a set of recommendations, including certification of EIR number 8189 as complete and in conformance with the California Environmental Quality Act, and approval of unclassified conditional use permit applications numbers 3734, 3802, 3803, and 3804. Subject to the mitigation measures, conditions of approval, and project notes as listed in Exhibit 1 of the staff report and included in the additional conditions of approval 4 through 7 provided in the supplemental handout. Thank you. This concludes staff's presentation. I'm happy to address any questions related to this agenda item.
Thank you, Jeremy. Are there any questions of staff?
I have a question. What is the estimate mitigation cost to dispose of everything once their useful life is up for this project?
I don't have that data available right now, but I can certainly provide that.
That will be the way I read it, because that was my biggest question, is once it's done in 40 years, then you're going to have some sort of analysis, looks like, you find with the new recommendations to do all that.
The applicant will be required to enter into a financially secured agreement with the county following, you know, the decision on the project, so it'd be approval. And at that point, there will be provisions made for, a dollar amount to be deposited into an escrow account to provide for that.
When you say secure, is that an escrow account that the money's placed in there, or is it a bonding company?
Correct. It's an escrow account, yes.
Okay, so we'll have the county will have access to the escrow account, which will be gaining interest throughout the time.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. Any other questions? Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy, were there any letters or any contact with regards to support or?
No public comment.
No public comment.
Yep. I have a question. Yeah. On the additional conditions of approval, were these proposed by the county or by the applicant?
These are standard conditions. It was just staff oversight that they were not included in the MMRP that was attached to the staff report. So they should have been included anyway in their standard conditions.
Okay.
Did the applicant get a copy or they know?
Yes.
All of this? Okay. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Would the applicant come forward? State your name and address for the record, if you would.
Yeah, if you can pull up the slides, that'd be great. Good morning, Planning Commission. Andrew Heyman, I'm the lead developer for Keen Energy Storage. My address is 1 California Street, San Francisco, California, 94111.
May I get your name again, please?
Andrew Heyman.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Really appreciate Jeremy teeing this project up and all the work that the staff has put into permitting this project over the last 3 years. I'd like to talk about three things today. One, introduce NextEra Energy Resources, our company. Two is talk about the location of this project. And three is just a couple of the project benefits to Fresno County. Go to the next slide, please. So who is NextEra Energy Resources? We are the largest renewable energy company in the world. And by that, I mean we produce more megawatts from the wind and the sun than anyone else in the world. We are also the number one battery developer and operator in the United States. And we do all of that business in the United States, hold a couple projects that we have up in Canada. In California, we've been here for the last 20 years, and I've thrown a couple of statistics about the money and investment that we've put back into California. And then Fresno specifically, we've actually been here since 2017. We own and operate two solar sites, Whitney Point and Westside Solar, which are both right in Five Points. And I want to take this moment to kind of highlight our business model. We build and then we run our sites for the entire lifetime of our projects. We don't build and then flip. We build and then then run. So I really see NextEra as a long-term partner and operator in Fresno County. And we've got a couple of projects that already demonstrate that. Next. So two, we site a lot of projects, and I think that Key Energy Storage is one of the most optimally sited projects in our portfolio. And by that, I want to talk about three things. Number one is we have to get this energy on the grid, we have to connect to Gates substation. So the farther we put this project away from that substation, the longer the transmission line is and the more disturbance to the surrounding area that the project will cause. So being as close as possible is certainly ideal. Number two, there's a lot of solar down there that's already been permitted and is being built and is in operation. And there's definitely a lack of battery storage to pair with that. So with all the solar going into Gates substation, this project will be able to pull a lot of that energy off the grid when supply is high and demand is low during the middle of the day, and then dispatch that energy back to the grid when the grid is most stressed in the afternoon hours. And then number three, this project's right on the backbone of the transmission, or the California transmission system. The 500 kV lines that run from Northern California down to LA run right through Gates substation. It's one of the biggest substations in California. And so having a large energy storage facility on that transmission backbone is certainly optimal. Can I get next, please? And then some quick project benefits. Number one, grid resiliency, not only generically in California, but here in Fresno. As I talked about, these projects pull energy off when supply is high and then puts it back on the grid when demand is high. It does that generally for California, but it also does it specifically in Fresno, California. Those electrons are going back onto the grid at Gates substation and will flow out, you know, from that substation on the grid. Two, near zero water usage. This project in operations is only cited to use about 1,000 gallons a year. So these projects are very low water use. And additionally, we have in our land contracts with our landowners, the landowners have first right of refusal on all of our water. So we sell all of that water back to the landowners, and it goes out for to be reallocated and reused on different parcels for farming in Fresno County. Three is expected property taxes. Just for the first CUP, the first 300 megawatts, we do expect the project to generate $4 million in property taxes in year one and about $100 million over the life cycle of the project. Again, that's only the first CUP, 300 megawatts. The EIR total is 3 gigawatts. So. And then finally, renewable integration. Battery storage is a large component of the renewable transition goals that the California Public Utility Commission, California Energy Commission, and state has as a whole. And this project certainly helps in that clean energy transition. With that, I really appreciate the Planning Commission looking at this today, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions of the applicant?
Can you talk about who benefits as far as like Californians from this project? Is the benefit mostly for the power companies to be able to store energy and then get it at the proper times that they need it? Or is it affecting like residents in our areas?
Yeah, so the energy gets stored and then it gets dispatched when the grid needs it. And so the California grid operator is making that call as to when and where that energy is needed. And so they put it back on. They put that energy back onto the grid when it's needed. So it's their call. They're operating the grid as a whole. So in a situation where, hey, Fresno is, high demand, that is within range to dispatch energy back into the Fresno community.
What is the cost to PG&E for the energy? Kilowatt hour.
We are selling all of the energy to two community choice aggregators, and so PG&E is not our customer. So they are the interconnection, they are the participating transmission owner. So they are helping connect the project, but they're not the one actually buying the energy.
What's the price?
The price is around $15 for some of the battery and around $30 for the next part. So there's a combination of 4 and 8 hour batteries in this project. So it's you've got two different price points.
So there's two different price points when you sell it on the grid back to whoever, mm-hmm. and then it goes to PG&E and the end customer. My point being how much is a kilowatt hour? It's $15 and $30, you said?
It's the way that battery storage projects are bought and sold is that you think about it, it's not sold on a megawatt hour basis like a solar project is sold. It's essentially you rent the battery space out to the people using it. So it's based on a kilowatt month dollar figure. So the number of kilowatt months or kilowatt months in the actual project. So. A little bit different pricing structure than selling direct energy.
So your business model is you build the system and then you rent it out to whoever wants to utilize it. Is that correct?
Yeah, we essentially contract the space in the battery to whoever needs to use it.
Okay, so then they're the ones who are actually then billing PG&E and PG&E bills the end customer.
Yeah, so they will.
Or
they
Southern
will,
California Edison.
So they will buy and sell wholesale. They will buy and sell at wholesale rates, which are defined on the grid at different nodes. And the relationship between what they're buying and selling at retail and what the actual final price is, that's their information.
Do you have a cost of the estimate to decommission this project?
Yes, we've actually provided all those figures to Fresno County. First phase is $4 million, that first CUP. So we're ready to post that in a escrow account. And then we've also provided estimates for phases 2, 3, and 4, CUPs 2, 3, and 4. But the final number will depend on exactly what we end up building.
The $4 million, how big of that section is that considered? Is it, though? You said phases. The first phase, how many units is that? Battery packs?
It's exact number in phase one. Do you have that? Is that number of units? I think it's about 150 units, actual battery units.
And how do you propose to decommission these units?
Yeah, so for decommissioning, right now in our plan, we are going to dispose of them. But we fully recognize that the most likely solution when these things hit end of life is some other solution, because they really do have value. These things don't, the battery units themselves don't drop to zero value. We're probably going to reuse them in some capacity or recycle them, but that solution that we're going to use probably doesn't exist today. The battery recycling and, you know, the battery reuse market is quickly evolving, especially as these larger energy storage sites are really becoming more prevalent. So we rely on some of the technology that the EV market has, you know, made today, but the market for standalone storage, all the solutions and products are really evolving in real time.
Any other questions? Commissioner Regan?
So you mentioned you guys are the largest solar operators and battery operators currently, I think I heard you say. So you've got a lot of experience with the batteries. How long have you been using this type of battery?
So the specific battery that we're using in the first phase, we've been working with that company, I think, for about 6 or 7 years. We've already started putting some of these batteries on the grid, but we're constantly buying the most recent battery technology.
So you got, it's safe to say you've got a lot of these batteries,
yes,
across the United States?
Across the U.S. And our biggest portfolio
is in California.
Have
you had any fires? Because I know there has been some large fires recently. I'm just curious if that was any of your guys' stuff.
We had our company has had a single battery fire. It was in New York, and it was one of the very first sites that we built with some of the most junior technology that we've put on the grid.
Okay. There was one recently in, was it Watsonville or somewhere? It must not have been you guys, though.
It was not us.
Okay. And you've got measures to combat that?
Yes, we've got plenty of measures in place. Our batteries adhere to a slew of National Fire Protection Association standards, UL, or Underwriters Laboratory Solutions standards, and also the 2022 California Fire Code. We've also, ahead of when we needed to, have been coordinating with the Kings County Fire Department. So we are talking with Larry Brown, their senior fire inspector, and Matt Tarr, their battery safety, or their fire safety
expert.
Did
you say Kings County?
Sorry, Fresno, Kings County. But we've already coordinated with them, and we will have emergency place in plan that also works for them prior to our building permits being issued.
Any other questions?
Andrew, I noticed in a conversation, I kind of thought I heard something about, you said you were based in Canada, your portfolio's in Canada?
Oh, sorry. I said hold a couple of projects. We have like two or three, but all of our projects are in the U.S.
U.S., but your portfolio, or what did you say, is based from Canada or this energy?
Oh, no. The portfolio of projects that we have, we operate in, I believe, 40 of 50 states in the United States.
Okay.
And then two or three projects up in Canada.
Okay.
And that consists of our entire operating portfolio.
Okay.
So
thank you.
Just want to highlight, like, we are essentially an American company. We don't do any business overseas, really.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Planning Commission.
Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Will Oliver, President and CEO of the Fresno County Economic Development Corporation, located at 1060 Fulton Street here in Fresno. We are here to express our strong support of Next Era Energy and this exciting battery storage project. Obviously, our county has already been a magnet for investment in the renewable energy space, and so this will be one of the first projects that will be critical to realizing a renewable energy economy. Andrew talked a lot about the technology itself. I also wanted to talk about NextEra's commitment beyond energy storage in general. I can say over the last few years that we have worked with them. They have shown up consistently in our community, engaging stakeholders, actively supporting local causes. So their dedication to Fresno County is evident. In addition to creating local jobs during the construction and operation of this facility, we have discussed ways that they can invest in local pre-apprenticeship and apprenticeship training programs that can prepare our local workforce for renewable energy jobs of the future. We get to manage and fund several of those programs throughout Fresno County, here in the city of Fresno, and some of the rural areas. And those are very much in-demand sectors. So it's key to have local employers and projects like NextEra to commit that support. So in conclusion, I think NextEra's battery storage technology is a crucial step towards a sustainable energy future, both fostering economic development, job creation, training, and we encourage the commission to consider approval. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in support of this application?
Good morning. John Dresick, Dresick Farms Incorporated, PO Box 1260 here on California 93234. We're the landowner that NextEra is going to be building the Kennedy storage on one portion up at the southern or the northern half of the northern 160. And I just want to let everybody know that NextEra has been an incredible partner in the operation. We've been working on it for 3 or 4 years, possibly 5 from the beginning of the conversations. They've allowed us to maintain infrastructure going forward. They're going to allow us, as Andrew said earlier, to maintain water, or not water rights, but water availability. We have existing infrastructure on the current property, which they'll allow us to maneuver through their property and through their design to maintain our farming operations that are adjacent to the current facility, as well as we have a deep well for irrigation purposes. And being in western Fresno County with the water-challenged area that we are, I think it allows us the flexibility and allows them the flexibility to be focused on the community, focused on the farming operations, not so much as focused on the development, making sure that everything that they're surrounding is supported by them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dresick.
So this isn't your first time with these guys. You've got a history with them. Is that?
It's our first time developing with NextEra. They're the Weston Solar. There's a solar facility that was built a half a mile. Well, it's on their southern parcel west of it. We were a portion of that development years ago, 10 years ago. And NextEra was part of that, or Clean Air was a part of that. So this is our first shot with NextEra.
So you know what you're getting kind of with them. Okay.
For sure. No question.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else to speak in support?
Good morning. My name is Ronnie Young. I'm the business manager, financial secretary for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers here in Fresno. Local 100 has done many of these projects, supplying the manpower for these projects, and these projects create numerous amounts of opportunities. Obviously, just for the local hire aspect, I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of man hours on these projects. We've been doing them for the last decade. Also provides apprenticeship opportunities. This project here may take 40, 50, 60 apprentices, depending on how it gears up and moves forward. So the apprenticeship opportunities obviously provide a career to these individuals in the skilled trades that lead to a living wage with benefits and pension. And we currently send numerous amount of journeymen out there that obviously are making a living wage and have benefits with health care and pension as well. Give you an example, a couple years ago, we had a couple projects in Kings County that utilized battery storage. And on one, the Aquamarine project, local hire, and this was just Kings County, 42% of the electrical workers came from Kings County. And on the Slate project, 43% of the electrical workers came from Kings County. Now, if you look at the total local hire aspect, you figure Fresno, Madera, Kings, Tulare, and even Kern County, local hire was probably in the upper 90%. So that's local individuals in these counties actually doing the work on these projects, which is a huge benefit, obviously, to the workers and the communities as far as retail and convenience stores and everything, if you look at the total cumulative effect. So Local 100 and its 1,450 members strongly support this project, and we hope you will too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
My name is Ben Harold. I'm Director of Business Development for Cupertino Electric. I'm here representing our support of the Key Best project. Cupertino Electric, we've been around for about 70 years. We are a union engineering construction firm. We're based in California, and we've been selected as the prime EPC, the general contractor for the first phase of this project. This project has a project labor agreement in place. That's our avenue to hiring local union craft employees from electricians, iron workers, laborers, operators, et cetera. Cupertino Electric, we have been doing projects like this in communities like this throughout California. We've logged millions of man hours. In every one of those projects, we strive to be good stewards of the community, to integrate ourselves within the community. So we're looking forward to partnering with NextEra. We're looking forward to partnering with the local union workforce and with this community on the project. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in support of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Seeing none, I'll close the public portion of the hearing, bring it up to the commission for discussion and motion.
Motion to approve is recommended by staff.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Arabian to approve as per staff's recommendation.
If we could clarify, that includes the additional conditions of approval?
Yeah, the additional handout, which including is, the additional, with the additional four recommended conditions of approval.
Conditions of approval, yes.
Okay, so the motion again to approve with the additional conditions of approval as presented by staff. That was from Commissioner Arabian. Commissioner Chata made the second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? This passes unanimously and would be final unless appealed to the Board of Supervisors. Thank you very much. Next item was continued to a date uncertain. Do we need to read that? It's item 5. The amendment to text application.
No, you don't need any action. It's been it's been continued.
Continued before, so you're just letting us know it's not on today, but it will come up before, most likely come up before us again.
We hope.
Nope, but new notices will be sent out then.
Yes, new notices will go out.
Okay, so item number 6. Consider and adopt the 2025 Planning Commission hearing calendar.
Okay. Item number 6 is. Want you stand up?
Yes.
Didn't wear my hat.
On the hot seat.
On the hot seat. So item number 6 is the annual sort of legislative cleanup. It provides you with a calendar for your meetings. We set this after the board has set theirs. That's why you're seeing it now and not earlier. And we try not to do it too late so you know what's coming up. Only thing of note is you will see in there some dates where in April where the board is at CSAC, so we have the Planning Commission the same day. There's not a conflict because they're not in the chamber. So if you're confused by that, that's the reasoning. Other than that, it is pretty similar to what we've seen in the past. We have a number of months where we have two, and then there are a few where we only have one, like in November and December. So if you have any questions, be glad to answer. Otherwise, we're looking for your unanimous support.
Can I make a motion?
Well, no, I think we should discuss this. I have to open it up to the public.
Oh, that's first right. Of all.
Did you get any letters or any correspondence from the public?
Well, no.
All right.
Can I make a motion?
Well, first I have to close the public portion of the hearing.
Oh, yeah,
Seeing anyone in here in support, anyone in opposition? Okay. Bring it back to the commission for discussion and a motion.
I make a motion to accept this since I will not be here. So I don't.
That's a rumor.
Okay. A motion by the future absent Commissioner Chata, and a second by, was it you, Blake?
Yep.
Okay, Zante. Any discussion? Do we need a roll call vote? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? There we go.
I have another motion to...
But first we have to see if there's any other discussion or information from staff.
Nothing much. I will let you know that Edna has chosen a different path to go, and so you see that Ariana is now learning the trade from Joseph, and in December she will go solo for at least one meeting because we're going to let him go off and have fun on a vacation. So be nice to her in December, okay? And that's all we have. Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner Chata, did you want to add something?
I make a motion to adjourn this hearing.
Well, we're done then. Thank you.
Go home.